1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You ask for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
8:08, Sunday morning. Happy Easter to everyone. Happy Passover. It is the Golfer's Home. For the next 2 hours, we're going to talk golf. We're going to talk college basketball. And we'll talk a little baseball. Opening day, Rangers, Astrodome. It's not called the Astrodome. Sorry. What's it called then? Something park.
I don't know.
Baseball. You ready for baseball?
Sure. Why not?
I love baseball.
I do too.
You know, there's nothing like, and I wish, you know, it's just changed so much, unfortunately. You know, I wish fathers would take their sons to baseball games. There's nothing more relaxing, nothing more fun. It's such a great way to teach kids about sport. People sit at a stadium for 3 hours and not worry about
anything.
Yeah.
Don't take your phone, leave it in the car.
Exactly.
You got downtime, you can hang.
And until you watch a game in person, you just don't see the intricacies that baseball has because it's such a big field. I mean, all you got to do, watch a third baseman for a whole inning. Don't watch the ball at all. Just watch a third baseman. See what he does. It's amazing how much you'll learn about the intricacies of the game of baseball. It's really, I love baseball.
We used to go, when I was growing up in New York, we used to go to Cape Cod every single summer, and they have a great league called the Cape Cod League.
Uh-huh.
And
That's right.
I saw Fred Lynn play up there, saw Jim
That's
Rice
right.
play up there. It's awesome.
Yep. Oh, minor league baseball. Don't get me started. Oh, how much fun is minor league baseball? Nothing like it. Well, that's the voice of Tim Cusick. He is here today. His son is here today, sleeping in his orange. Is there any way he's not going to Oklahoma State?
He's going to be wearing Puma for the foreseeable future, that's for sure. We'll have to see what college sponsors is sponsored by Puma. I think maybe that's.
I don't think there are any.
I
don't think there are any. I keep waiting for the Bruins to become a Nike team instead of a Adidas team.
Adidas.
Well, there's about 300 guys who have a shot to win a tournament that's not going to get played today, it looks like.
They're going to get the weather down there, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's expected to, and it's a late start because they want everybody to go to church first. So by the time it does start, it's going to, I mean, you know, this is one of those hard calls for the tour in that do you start early or, you know, and they either delay the broadcast or whatever, or do you keep the schedule? And the schedule is going to be that we're going to play it on Monday. A little bit easier because, you know, if they are playing next week, they're not going that far.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio, which the number two player in the world has decided to play at. And if you're not playing in that, you're either heading towards Augusta or someplace to practice.
Sure, sure. They got stuck last week with the weather, too.
Right.
I mean, they had, you know, figuring out, are they going to play early? Are they not going to play early? And then an un-PGA Tour-related event at Isleworth, the Tavistock Cup, and I'm sure that there was a little angst with them not starting early with that as well. But that turned into an exhibition more than anything.
Right. And kind of a fun exhibition. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it at all?
I saw a little bit of it on Tuesday. I didn't watch it on Monday. Monday, they just had guys showing up.
Right.
I mean, it was like they had the guys that played early, you know, Fred Couples and a few others. And they went out and started the event. And then they had, you know, guys when they finished just kind of started showing up over at Isleworth after they got done at Bay Hill.
You know, it was the first few years, I thought it was a cool event mm-hmm. just because, you know, Lake Nona
Different.
Versus Isleworth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now, because so many guys have moved, you had Tiger playing mm-hmm. with, oh my God.
Ernie Els.
No, Tiger played with.
He was with Albany. With
right, and he played. Come on, the guy who won the guy who won the Ryder Cup. Ian Poulter.
Ian Poulter.
He played with Ian.
Because they were sponsored. They were representing Bermuda or Bahamas. Something. Bermuda.
Right. But yeah. It just, you know, it's kind of changed now. And I just would, I think this may be the last year.
Well, I mean, they had a good thing and they stretched it. And they had a team from Oak Tree that, you know, they had Bob Tway and Ricky Fowler. And I think Scott Verplank played representing Oak Tree. And so, you know, it's just kind of a come one, come all now.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I was hoping they'd keep doing it and go around. You know, whoever won, then mm-hmm. would go play what's the club in Arizona that everybody's a member of?
Whisper Rock.
Whisper yeah. Rock, and then maybe play Vaquero.
Be a traveling deal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Vaquero definitely has enough tour players. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be fun to do something like that. All right, so it's the Houston Shell Open, and you have Stuart Sink and Billy Haas at 11 under par. Ben Crane, who shot 67 yesterday, is at 10 under, along with D.A. Points and Steve Wheatcroft. Wheatcroft. I'm going to get it right, I promise. A Monday qualifier, mm-hmm. and he looked like a Monday qualifier yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 9 under par, Bud Cauley, Louis Oosthuizen, Lee Westwood, who we're going to talk about a bunch, Billy Horschel. It just seems like every week, Billy Horschel at some point is near the top of the leaderboard.
He's a good player. He's one of the young ones that, you know, he and Harris English and who's the guy that won in Hawaii? Stuart Henley?
Right.
Is it Stuart? Yeah, and, you know, they've got
Russell Henley.
There's, you know, four or five of them that are really, really good players that have just joined the tour or came up through the wed.com, and it's interesting.
Keegan Bradley is also at 9 under after a 67. Kevin Chappell is 9 under after a 67. So you've got 20 guys.
Angel Cabrera.
Dustin Johnson's at 7 under. You've got some big names
mm-hmm.
Who are, you have 20 guys within four shots of the lead, and then at five shots from the lead is Phil Mickelson.
It's Phil.
Who went out early yesterday and is going to, you know, relatively go out, you know, 20 guys. That's 10 groups. That's at 10 minutes. That's 100. That's an hour and 20 minutes before the leaders tee off.
No, and Cameron Tringali, Ricky Fowler's buddy, is at 9 under, a couple shots out, and he has been lurking on a leaderboard for the last 2 months.
Correct.
He's been all over the leaderboard except for at the top. So, I mean, this is a shootout in Texas. This is shootout at the OK Corral.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, it's a shootout at 11 under. Next week we'll get a shootout where going into the final round they could be 20 under.
Some of the guys dig that. Some of the guys don't. But all these guys that are on the leaderboard right now, they're making birdies, and there's a stretch right in the middle of the golf course from about 6 to 11 that you've got to make your hay, or else you're going to have trouble, you know, coming in because you've got a couple tough holes coming in. But there are certainly plenty of birdies out there if the weather allows them to.
It's been Saturday average score just into the 70s. That's pretty good scoring for a Saturday at a PGA Tour
event. That's desert scoring. That's Bob Hope scoring
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly. So it's exciting to think about what will happen today. We'll get you a weather update at the top of the second segment of the show. 9:05, Rex Hoggart's going to come on. We're going to talk about a bunch of things, including duffnering, a new term in
has
the dictionary.
Gone viral, yes.
A new term in the dictionary, duffnering. And if you don't know what that means, you may need to pray for Jason when you go to your Easter church service.
I'll tell you what, he has been a good sport about it, too. When this came out, he has been a good sport. He's tweeted about it. He says, I'm the only one that has the patent on this and blah, 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 blah. But if you haven't seen the picture, go on the internet and see the picture.
Well, explain the story so people get what's going on.
So Jason Duffner was in town for
the kickoff luncheon
earlier this past week for the kickoff luncheon for the HP Byron Nelson Championship. And afterwards, he went to one of the grammar schools that is a recipient of some of the funds that come from the HP Byron Nelson Championship and was visiting with the kids, and they had a little presentation, and he was sitting on the floor with the kids, kind of propped up against the wall in Jason Duffner posture, without a hat on, kind of semi-afro, kind of hunched over, looking like he was slumped. He was slumped, looking like he was getting ready to fall asleep, and someone snapped a picture. It popped up on the internet, and someone tagged it, calling it duffnering, and it just went crazy. And every single tour player and everyone associated with golf in the last 48 hours has taken a picture with themselves in this posture, and it is an absolute crack up. It's getting old, but it's an absolute crack up.
It does show that perhaps Jason needs to do a little better in his workout. Let's just put it that way.
Wow. The picture is something else. But he has been a good sport about it. I will say that.
But I'm sorry. It gives golf a bad name.
This picture is not flattering. It's not flattering. But you've got some of the game's best. You got Luke Donald. You've got Bubba Watson. You've got Ricky Fowler. You've got Rory McIlroy.
All taking the picture,
doing the Duffner. And it is hilarious.
It really is. So you can just look it up on the internet anywhere and see all these guys trying to do the picture. Even media guys are doing it. Rex did it, and we'll talk about that. All right, next up, we'll talk more about the Shell Houston Open and a chance for a father-son championship. We'll explain that next here on The Golfer's Home. We're just getting started. It's 1190 AM. Tim Cusick, Stephen Griffin.
Start each day with a special happy feeling. You will if you have the iHeartRadio app on your smartphone and tablet. iHeartRadio lets you listen to 1,500 live radio stations. You can make custom stations with it. You can even use the Perfect For feature, perfect for any activity. That's why it gives you that special happy feeling. Don't have it? Then get it. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. Amazing what digs up this fun-loving pup. Sweet, sweet Jack, sweetjack.com.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors, unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Someday, I'll wake up on a yacht in the Caribbean. Someday I'll sell my screenplay and change careers.
Someday I'll drive my very own Mercedes-Benz.
Someday is today. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, driving the car of your dreams is a lot closer than you think. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
Someday, I'll stop saying someday.
Don't wait. It's time to love what you drive. Available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Would you like to know how to become 3 times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're 3 times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded to a voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138. 9138.
After I turned 40, my body started changing. I didn't feel as attractive as I used to.
I started taking Ambrin. I feel as beautiful today at 50 as I did when I was 30. Thank goodness for Ambaren. It rebalances your hormones naturally, which relieves the symptoms of hormonal imbalance and menopause, like weight gain, hot flashes, fatigue, low libido, and more. For a limited time, you can get a 30-day supply free. Be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-830-8070. That's 1-800-830-8070.
Hey everyone, Larry North here. Take it from me. Eating healthy and exercising is great, but learning to de-stress and meditate is equally as important. And there's no better place to do this than a Drift Float Spa. Call them today at 214-36-FLOAT or go to their website at adriftfloatspa.com.
.821, the Golfer's Home. Kim Cusick, Stephen Gribben. Again, happy Easter. Happy Passover to everyone. And the weather. It's supposed to be overcast, mostly cloudy, until 1 o'clock in Houston. And then isolated thunderstorms.
Right when the leaders tee off.
Right. Leaders tee off at 12:35
is Stewart Cink and Billy Haas.
Right. Billy Haas has a chance to do something that's only been known once before, and it was done by the Haas boys. His father won this tournament, I want to say, 80-something, 86, 87.
Mm-hmm.
His daddy won the tournament. How cool would that be? Father-son.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Billy Haas, he's got some serious game. He's won four times, actually, since Stewart Cink won the British Open 4 years
Correct.
Ago. Was the Tour Championship winner and the FedEx Cup winner in 2011. And he can hit it. You know what? I watched him hit balls about 2 or 3 years ago. This is probably about 3 years ago. I wasn't helping him. I was just sitting behind him watching him hit balls at the HP Byron Nelson Championship early in the week about 3 years ago. And I watched this kid swing for about an hour, and I thought, man, this kid can really hit it. He must be a terrible putter. Because I'm thinking to myself, because he's never on the leaderboard, you know,
right.
And he finally
right.
got it figured out, and he has got a really good golf swing, and he's got some serious game.
You know, you and your son didn't dress in the same room, did you? Pink and orange. You're wearing pink. Your son is wearing orange. This is a massive clash.
He's got a little pink in his shirt. He's got a little Argyle.
Is there? I guess there is a little pink in there.
He's got the
I thought
Ricky,
that was all orange.
Ricky Argyle. He's got the belt going, too. Yeah, we got the Easter pink on,
okay.
Although it's darker right now than it was at midnight.
All right, last person to win from being a Monday qualifier. Go ahead.
Kenny Knox?
Arjun Atwal.
Ah, okay, and that's why he tweeted.
210, that's exactly
that's
right.
That's why he tweeted that. He tweeted something about my Monday qualifier homie or something like that. Good luck to him. And that's because he won as well that way. All right, well, we'll see what happens.
Winner gets 1.116, and he's also, Wheatcroft enters the week with only one prior top 10 finish on the PGA Tour, a tie for 10 at the Puerto Rico Open.
I think
netted him $168,000.
I think the winner will be excited about having that money in their bank account, but I think they'll be more excited about going to Augusta in 2 weeks.
Unless it's like Stewart Cink.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
But Stewart Cink has. You talk about a guy who, you know, it really is true. There is, I mean, and you would know this as well as anybody, being one of the great teachers in America. There really is something to, once you attain your goal, consciously or subconsciously. And they're both pretty equal.
You shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could say all you want about it being a swing change. Bull, pucky. This was Stewart Cink had nothing else to play for.
2009, he the unlikely winner.
I would say.
The unlikely winner at the British Open with Tom Watson making
we'll
a mess of 18. Will
never get his due.
No.
But, unfortunately.
You know, since 2009, he's fallen to 272nd on the world rankings. I mean, that's a free fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's gone from, you know, swinging over his shoulder to around his waist to somewhere in between and you know, trying to figure out what it is. But, you know, like you said, you know, you lose some of your desire possibly. You lose some of your drive. You have family at home. And, I mean, it takes a super, super athlete to really stay focused if they have met their goal.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that, there are guys who, and that's the difference between being a multiple major winner and a one-time major winner.
Mm-hmm.
You reach that goal, and it's, you know, And it's not just the money. It's the psychological aspect of reaching your goal. That's why when you set goals, you always want to make them, especially the major goals, just out of reach.
I'll tell you one thing with this leaderboard. Your man, Bud Colley, will be putting with a putter today.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago when we were doing the Sirius satellite show, he's on Friday morning, we're watching the streaming action, and he's got a wedge in his hand on the putting green. And he already had gone to club over the knee and got rid of it, and he had to putt with a wedge the rest of the round.
This is, you want a stat of stats? 21 times the Shell Houston Open has gone into a playoff. More than any other PGA Tour event.
That's a lot of
outside players. Of the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
That's not a PGA Tour
event. Right.
21 times.
There's a high possibility of that happening this week, too, with all these guys bunched up. It's like a NASCAR race right here.
Right. The last time was 210 when Anthony Kim. Every time I say the name, it just brings tears to my eyes. Anthony Kim defeated Vaughn Taylor. There's another disappearing act.
Where's both those guys? Yeah.
Unbelievable. And remember we talked a couple weeks ago about Haas having a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played great that week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Playing great this week.
Yeah.
All right. So Rory announces he's adding the Valero Texas Open.
Did that on Friday morning, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
After kind of
By Friday at 2 o'clock.
Sure, by Friday afternoon.
Right.
He's, he's thinking about getting more reps. He's going to get more reps, but he also had to cancel a pretty important trip. He was scheduled to go down to Haiti Monday and Tuesday for a little UNICEF philanthropic visit, something that he's very tied to, and spent a day agonizing over whether he's going to play or go down to Haiti, and decided to cancel the trip and hopefully reschedule in the future. But he feels like he needs more reps, and he does need more reps, and he's headed to San Antonio after Houston.
You know, everybody in the media has talked about him needing more reps. Everybody agrees he needs more reps. Does it matter? Yes, there's no question it matters that you want to be playing tournament golf. Okay, I agree with that. But does playing it in San Antonio where 25 under wins the event, where it's the holder of the record, Tommy Armour, 28 under.
Here's what I don't think works is I don't think cram sessions work. Okay, Tiger Woods tried to do that 2 years ago, coming back from all the things he was coming back from. And even in Hank's book, Hank talked about how this was a cram session, trying to get as much as he could get in. And cram sessions, as all of us have gone through in school, most of the time don't work. And I think Rory's on somewhat of a cram session, trying to see what he can find. He's finding something, at least from what he's saying here in Houston this week, and he's going to try and build on it next week in San Antonio. I guess it just depends on what your mindset is when you go into San Antonio. I mean, is he going into San Antonio trying to win the tournament? Is he going in still working on his game, not really worried too much about the result? I guess that's probably and then dealing with what the media says about his game, if that's how he's going into it. I think that's the big thing, and that's something that maybe we talked to Rex about is, what kind of mindset is he going into San Antonio with? To win the tournament or to try and just build on his game and try and shut out what the media is going to say if that's what he's doing?
Right. It's interesting how the tour set this up this year because so many players, either you like playing the week before a major or you don't. You know, this is hard for Phil. Phil always loves playing the week before a major, but he's not going to San Antonio.
No.
It's just not a golf course conducive to being ready to play Augusta.
Correct. And Houston made the conscious decision a number of years ago to set their golf course up, to contact Augusta, to find out how much overseed they're throwing, to find out the cuts that they've got around the green, the rough, the whole shooting match, to try and get that golf course to play as much condition-wise, like Augusta, as they would see at Augusta for the Masters. And for a number of years, they had the date right before Augusta. And you got a lot of the European guys and overseas guys that would come and prepare, trying to get their clock set, their internal clock set, as well as getting used to the grasses, and then move down to Augusta, and you don't have that this year. So interesting that the tour has done what they've done.
So they are on the golf course, and on the golf course so far, Jordan Spieth is 1-under through three after rounds of 72, 70, 74. Chad Campbell is minus two, along with Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker was towards the leaderboard after Thursday, and then shot 78 yesterday.
And he's been on fire. And 78's got to feel like about 88 on that golf course with what they were shooting yesterday.
Unbelievable. 78.
And same thing with Jordan Spieth with 74. I mean, he has done – someone asked me yesterday out at the course, are you surprised at what he's done? And, frankly, Stephen, I really am not. I mean, he just has continually, since he was 16 years old, he's continually improved whatever level he's played at. He's conquered. He's moved to the next level. He's conquered. He's moved to the next level. And he is very comfortable on the PGA Tour, and he's going to be there for a long time.
I agree with that. I think the biggest thing he did was bulk up so that he could gain the distance he needed to be competitive. Mm-hmm. I remember at 16 and 17.
Skinny.
And just not able to move the ball with any length. A very good short game player, but not able to move the ball with any length.
Correct.
And he's done what he needed to do to add that part to his game. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing.
Clubhead speed as well. Damon Goddard was in studio with us a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about he's been kind of the person right at the helm of helping Jordan with his fitness. And one of the things that he talked about is that the amount of clubhead speed and ball speed that he's picked up, and he's, from a couple of years ago, he's 20, 25 yards longer. And not only is that going forward, but that's up in the air. And you need it up in the air to be able to stop the ball on the greens and get to those pins that are so difficult on the tour. And he's been able to achieve both.
Talk about that for a minute. And let's do that next. Because I really would – so many people just don't understand the concept of loft of their driver. I see so many amateurs with 7.5 degree, 8.5 degree lofts. They just, it's because they think that's going to make them hit further, or because they heard some long driver of America player did that or something. Let's talk about loft on a driver.
You got it.
Okay, and let's do that. All right, we're going to do that next. We're gonna step aside for a moment. We'll talk about loft on a driver and going through that process, and we'll do that next here on the Golfer's Home. He's Tim Cusick. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
Your ancestors' fascinating immigration stories are available for you to discover for free this weekend only. That's right. TryAncestry.com is extending a rare and limited time free access weekend. Log on to TryAncestry.com anytime this Thursday through Sunday only, and you'll have 100% free access to their immigration collection that includes passports, passenger lists, and even border crossing records. So whether your ancestors' journey began in Ireland, Italy, or even Turkey, you can explore your roots with this free access weekend. It's amazing what you can find that didn't get shared over the years. Don't miss this rare opportunity to search for your ancestors' arrival in America. Absolutely free. Log on to TryAncestry.com anytime this Thursday through Sunday only, March 14th through 17th, and discover something unforgettable and possibly unknown about your family. Hurry, free select access is only for this weekend. Visit TryAncestry.com. That's TryAncestry.com.
cashcall.com.
Hey, check this out. For the first time that we at Cash Call know of, and we've been doing this a long time, Cash Call is offering a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage at 2.75% rate and APR with absolutely no points or fees of any kind. That's right, 2.75%. And if you just make the scheduled monthly payments on time, your home will be free and clear in just 15 years. Are you kidding me? Look, even if you refinanced recently, invest a little time to put savings in your pocket every month for the next 15 years. Thanks, Mr. Fed. Run to the phone and call 855-875-CASH. And we'll run the numbers and tell you exactly what you'll save. Don't be a dummy. Save the money. So call 855-875-CASH for 2.75% 15-year money today.
Must own no other properties. No self-employment. Otherwise, higher rate will apply. Credit and income requirements apply. Call 866-900-8744 for terms and restrictions. Rates may change without notice. NMLS 38512.
That's 855-875-CASH. 855-875-CASH.
At Hotels.com, we've got thousands of deals for every occasion. And to celebrate spring, we've got low prices on your favorite getaways. But what could we call such a fantastic sale? The I'm so happy it's finally spring I could dance sale? The man I love a quick weekend getaway sale? The grab the camera because it's family vacation time sale? How about just the spring sale? That about sums it up.
Now through April 1st, save up to 30% on your favorite destinations. Book now only at Hotels.com, finding you the perfect place at the perfect price.
After I turned 40, my body started changing. I didn't feel as attractive as I used to.
I started taking Ambrin. I feel as beautiful today at 50 as I did when I was 30.
Thank goodness for Ambrin. It rebalances your hormones naturally, which relieves the symptoms of hormonal imbalance and menopause, like weight gain, hot flashes, fatigue, low libido, and more. For a limited time, you can get a 30-day supply free. Be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-830-8070. That's 1-800-830-8070.
Help people with disabilities in North Texas and their families by taking part in the Walk, Roll, Stroll, Saturday morning, April 27th in Addison. Benefiting Ability Connection Texas. Find out more at walkrollstroll.org.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
It's the Golfer's Home. Tim Cusick, Stephen Gribben. I see so many guys using 7.5, 8.5, 9.5 lofts. It's just not right.
It isn't right. And when the big drivers first started coming out, the equipment companies, you know, were in uncharted territory. They realized that the big driver was the thing of the future, but didn't have the science down on it yet. And so the ball was spinning way too much. So they had, Callaway was the first to do this. They had to really notch their driver lofts down. And so you had anyone that had club head speed over about 105 miles an hour had to use about a 7.5 degree driver, so the thing didn't just shoot straight up in the air. And now they've figured out how to restructure the weight and reposition the head so that you don't get the massive spin. And so now you have people playing more normal lofts. You really shouldn't see anyone in your Saturday-Sunday foursome with anything less than 9.5 degrees. If you do, they're probably using the wrong club. But what that does is you want the golf ball to take off and launch at a certain height, and
right,
it should climb and it should carry as the ball is flying through the air. You don't want the ball falling out of the sky, and you don't want it spinning straight up in the air. If you had too much loft, the ball would fly too much up in the air and it would spin too much. If you don't have enough loft based on your club head speed, it's going to knuckle and fall out of the sky. And when you see that ball nosediving, that's when it's like having a plane go down the runway, getting ready to take off, but it only's going at 50% speed. So you've got to try and get your club head speed and your golf swing to match the loft of the driver that you need. Now, with the kids nowadays, which is really, really nice, is you have the adjustable drivers that you're able to adjust, and all the companies are making a 12 or 13-degree driver that you can even add more loft to. And so now for women and for kids that don't need an adult set maybe just yet, you can get them into a driver that is more doable for them to be able to hit and make sense with. I mean, everyone knows that most likely you need to have a driver in your bag. I mean, that's just tradition. And it's very difficult to sell to someone's wife or someone's right. girlfriend that, hey, you know what? You don't have enough clubhead speed. You should just have a 3-wood in your bag. That just doesn't sell. But now that they're making clubs with more loft on the drivers, you know, it makes it easier. Now, with me saying this, I'll let you tell the next story with what Phil's going to do with his setup for Augusta.
Phil is thinking about basically going multiple 3-wood because he's having a problem this year controlling the driver. He's killing the 3-wood. So if he puts in the razor hot 3-wood at 12 degrees, taking a 13-degree driver, take it down to 11.5-12 with the deep face but the smaller head, he believes he can do just as well at Augusta.
And he might be right, because you know, you have some dog legs that you have to curve the golf ball, and tour players are now a lot easier with the golf ball design and with the way the drivers are made. The drivers now are really straight ball hitting drivers for the tour players. So getting a 3-wood, being able to tee it up, you're able to move the golf ball a little bit more. And so on the holes where he's got to curve the ball, 13 on the back nine comes to mind right off the top of my head.
Well, nobody hits driver on 13, basically. Now, for Phil, for most right-handers, because they need to draw the ball, mm-hmm. and it's much easier to draw a 3-wood than it is to draw the driver.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. So we'll see, you know, how that experiment. He is known to experiment, and he is known to experiment at major championships. I think it was at the U.S. Open last year, the year before, that he showed up with no driver in his bag.
Two drivers.
That's what it was. Two drivers in his bag, and that didn't work out so well. And that lasted about a round and a half or two rounds, and went back to his traditional setup.
Now let's talk a minute about irons. Can you explain the real difference between using metal shafts, steel shafts, versus using graphite shafts, and why use either one?
Historically, graphite shafts were lighter material, obviously, and so that was put into clubs that people that weren't strong enough, people that didn't have lots of clubhead speed, females, seniors, those were the ones way back when that were using graphite shafts in their irons. Now, graphite also is a softer material, so people that have issues with their hands, their elbows, their arms, their shoulders were using graphite as well, because it dampens the hit a little bit, the collision when you're making contact with a golf ball on the ground, and it doesn't jar quite as much. They have had some incredible innovations in graphite now, that they can get graphite shafted irons, or I'm sorry, just graphite shafts that can equal the weight that steel shafts are, which are a little bit heavier. You see graphite shafts somewhere in the 60, 65 gram weighting, where steel shafts are more up in the 110 to 125 gram weighting. Steel is more consistent because graphite is fibers that are wrapped together. Steel is one consistent matter, so you might have more consistency from shaft to shaft to shaft with steel. But graphite is, you see a lot of the guys on Senior Tour, on the Champions Tour, using the new and different types of graphite shafts.
But it's interesting, Timmy, when I go into a golf store, and I go in all the time just mm-hmm. to look around and see what's going on and what's hot and what's mm-hmm. selling, you very rarely, when you look against the wall, see irons off the rack irons with graphite shafts.
Well, one of the things too is that they're more expensive.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're going to—
But if it really is better for you, I'm not sure. Is it just the retailers not buying them and you just have to order them, or what?
It's not necessarily what's better for you. If you went to XYZ Golf Club on Saturday morning on a nice day, and you just did the Daryl survey that they do on the PGA Tour every Thursday on the first tee, you're still going to see more steel-shafted iron sets in bags, and you're going to see graphite shaft. Now, the people that have graphite shafts are going to be ones that either have been fitted properly, number one, older golfers with lower clubhead speed, female golfers. It's just that's what you're going to see. So you're always dealing with tradition. You're dealing sometimes with misconception. People buy sets just to buy sets, and they're going to go in. They're going to buy the set that's not as expensive. You have lots of different variables. I mean, up until 10 years ago, every single set had a 2-iron in the bag, too.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, nobody sells it.
Nobody.
I mean, off-the-rack sets now start at 4-iron.
Right, right. And women start at 5, and it's
right.
Usually some type of a hybrid mix. So, but the graphite shafts, I mean, the sets are a little bit more expensive. If you are stocking inventory, you know, they're looking for, you know, people that are just going to buy sets off the rack. That's why you see more steel shafts sets. But
and the other thing that really drives me crazy, and I'll never forget, it was Jeff Rude, one of the great golf writers in all of golf. He was the first one who said, basically, screw my ego. This Nike, I forgot what it was called. This was 6 years ago. The Improvement Club Iron.
Okay.
He went to that iron, and he hit it straighter, hit it longer.
Higher.
And he said, does it look stupid? Yeah, but who cares? I play better with it. And, I mean, I would say 95% of golfers would be so much better off buying, you know, big cavity back or whatever clubs, game improvement clubs. Here's right about that or not?
Yes. Here's a phrase that just drives me absolutely crazy on the lesson tee, whether it's someone that I'm teaching or someone that I'm fitting. And
I want to say slingshot, but that's not right.
I think you're close though. But here's the phrase. And so what someone will say is that I don't want to play the big game improvement clubs because I can't feel my misses. I can't feel it when it's out on the toe or on the heel. And I'm thinking to myself,
it is the slingshot. I was right. Wow. Go ahead.
I'm thinking to myself, why are you trying to torture yourself even more by wanting to be able to feel it and wanting to be able to lose 20 yards automatically when you hit it off the toe or hit it off the bottom of the club or the heel? And you know that, but that's a common phrase that you hear all the time, or I'm not, you know, I don't need the game improvement, you know, I'm too good a golfer or this or that. Let me just tell you what: show up on the first tee on Thursday of a PGA Tour event, or even more so, an LPGA Tour event or Champions Tour event, and just see what they have in their bag. See how many 3-irons. See how many 2-irons. See how many game improvement clubs. You're not going to see many 3-irons, 2-irons. You're going to see hybrids.
Right.
You're going to see not a lot of muscle backs, especially on the LPGA Tour. And their clubhead speeds are a lot closer to what the average golfer is used to. And the game is always going to be the same in that the hole is the same size. I don't care how many trees you have. I don't care how many water hazards, whatever. And it's going to be difficult. Why make it more difficult than it is?
And the thing is that, like, and you and I have talked about it for years, you know, you want to understand your golf swing, watch the LPGA. That's what I've always said. But what's so funny to me is that, and I use the number 1%. I think it's actually 2% of the population of the 25 million people that play the game. If you played by the rules every time you went out, only 2% of the population would break 100.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting look at
and
things.
And yet we all want to play, you know.
But I'll tell you what, if everybody played exactly by the rules, the rounds of golf would be even longer.
Right. No, I'm not saying that. My point is that we all want, and I think this is where the disservice is. It's like, you don't need to spend, and this is no offense to manufacturers, you don't need to spend $50 on a dozen golf balls. You can. The average golfer does not know the difference between the $20 a dozen golf ball and the $50 dozen golf ball. And the average golfer loses 3.5 golf balls a round.
That's a lot of balls. That's a lot of balls. That's
and
a
yet,
lot of ball
Pro
sales.
V1, and I'm not putting down Pro V1, but if you are at 18 handicap, which is the average golfer, if you're an 18 handicap, I'm sorry, the difference between the NXT and the Pro V1, you ain't feeling it.
No, and that ball is very close to begin with. But
that's what I mean.
It's you know what? It's just like anything else. I mean, you golfers imitate who they like, who they see on TV, who they play with. You know, they don't want to show up on the first tee with a hacked up ball. They don't want to. You know, it's perception. Just like, you know, your set should have a 2-through pitching wedge. You know, 10 years ago. And every single person should have a 3-wood, and, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, if I do this with my students, I do this because I think it's important, because I think it helps them play better. I had a ladies class last Monday, and it was a supervised practice class. We had 8 ladies, and I helped them with their full swing for an hour. And I showed up on the tee with a 7-wood, a 9-wood, and an 11-wood.
Right.
And I said, everyone's hitting these. I want you to try them. And the word that I got most out of it was, wow.
Right.
Wow. This is unbelievable.
Wasn't it Harvey who would not allow his students to hit anything but a 7-iron forever?
In their practice.
Right.
In their practice. Well, you need to groove a swing. You need to see. I want people, when they're practicing, I want them to see success. So I'm not going to have them hit a 3-wood out of a divot, you know, and I don't care if that's a lie you got on the course today or not.
Right.
That's a one-off situation, okay? When you go to the driving range, you're going for one of two reasons, one of three reasons. You're going for enjoyment, you're going to build more confidence, or you're going to loosen up your kink, you know, get the kinks out of your swing because you haven't done it in a while. And so, you know, when I'm watching somebody hit balls, I'm trying to get them to hit more good shots so they get more confident in what they're doing and feel more confident about their swing. So I'm not going to have them hit the most difficult club in their bag off the ground, off of a terrible lie. We're going to start, and we're going to get something in the air and get something going, and then we'll start working through the bag.
Absolutely. These are the frustrating things for me around the game of golf. And the other, I mean, it's just amazing to me how guys will change their driver all the time, and yet I'll see irons that are 10 years old in guys' bags.
I watched a guy 2 weeks ago right next to me as I was teaching. He got his wrench out for his adjustable driver 4 times in 15 balls, and not once did he find the right trajectory. He went from low left to high right to low right to nothing, to frustration, put my clubs in the cart and leave him. And I sat there and I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? I mean, he's a mad scientist.
The best thing you could do when you go to a driving range, leave your bag in the trunk.
Leave your wrench in your bag. There should be a disclaimer on those wrenches. Use under expert advice only.
So if I'm going out to practice for an hour, break down the practice.
Well, you can go a lot of different ways with that, but let's say
I practice 1.5 times a week.
If you want to improve your game, all right, you need to touch all facets. Just divide it by 4. Divide your number of minutes you're going to practice by 4, and leave a little bit of time for rest in between. So you want to hit some balls, you want to go over the putting green, you want to hit some chips, you want to hit some pitches, you want to hit some sand shots. And, you know, when you hit some balls, you should not start with your driver. You know, start with some wedges, hit some distance shots, work to a 7-iron or an 8-iron, hit a couple fairway woods off of nice lies, try a couple drivers, and then go back to a 7 or an 8-iron, and then go to the putting green. And when you go to the putting green, hit some long putts, hit some short putts, put 4 balls around a hole at 3 feet, hit a different breaking putt every single time, putt to the edge of the green to get feel for speed, go over and chip with 3 different clubs, a 9-iron, a pitching wedge, a sand wedge, short range, medium range, long range chips, same stroke, then go and pitch some off of nice lies and hit a couple bunker shots. And you've done yourself, you know, some good with your game.
When the average person... And I love this conversation. When the average person can play twice a month. Would they be better off practicing for 4 hours one of those two times and only playing once a month or not? Or is it just getting out and having a good time?
I think that there's no substitute for playing golf, number one. People that the stigma that I see some people fall into is that they start working on their swing and it's never good enough. So they never get to the golf course,
right,
unfortunately, because it's never the way they want it to be and it's never going to get the way they want it to be. But the ultimate enjoyment, at least for most people, I think, is going to play golf. And if you just went to play golf and didn't practice, I'd rather see you out on the golf course than just hitting golf balls. But if you can supplement a little bit of practice with your golf, and that doesn't even need to include a golf ball.
Right.
You can go and make swings in your backyard, in your house, wherever it is that you have enough room, and just get repetitions in. Or practice in a mirror. Work on your takeaway. Work on your impact. Work on your balance with your finish. But there's no substitute for going out and hitting shots on the golf course. Whether you're by yourself, whether you go out with two golf balls. We went out yesterday with my competitive juniors, and we worked around the green for 8 holes, and we did something that is called two-ball worst ball. And so I picked
right.
a shot around
my
the
favorite,
green.
My favorite game to play.
Picked a shot around the green, and so they've got to hit two chips and take the worst one. They've got to then putt, and they've got to take the worst putt. And if they make the first one, they got to make the next one, or else they got to putt from that spot. And it is there's a lot of pressure involved.
Whenever you go
great.
Out and practice and you see guys hitting two balls, they always play their better
ball.
Oh,
yeah, sure.
And the more fun game is to play your worst ball.
Two-ball worst ball.
Absolutely. Way more fun. Way, way more fun. Rex Hoggard's going to join us at 9:05. Ryan's going to join us around 9:40, 9:45. It is raining out. So
it's a glimmer of sun out there now.
Yeah. I mean, I can't
Maybe
get a
passing.
Fix of whether it's going to what it's going to be like.
Passing. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm in the mood to play.
You are itching. You
I
played
am.
Yesterday, and you want to get out there and play today. I'll tell you what.
I haven't played 2 days in a row in 2 years.
Wow.
I know. That's how long it's been.
Wow. That is a long time. If you want to catch up with Stephen and I, you can follow both of us on Twitter. You can follow Stephen at SG Golfer, and you can follow me at Tim Cusick Golf. We'd love to see you follow us on Twitter.
Jimmy Walker, 4 under par through 8 holes.
He's playing right in the meat, right in the wheelhouse where you can make some birdies.
He's moved up 25 spots, tied for 44th. After you shoot 78, it's pretty easy to walk back up.
Yeah, the pressure's off.
Yeah.
The pressure's off.
Was he first out? Because he's on number 8. Yeah, he's and he may be playing alone. Hold on, let's check this. He may be playing alone. He's playing alone.
Is he?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's got a marker. You know, that's interesting how they do that. Is that?
No,
you,
I think he's playing with Carl Peterson. Actually.
You have
playing with Jerry Kelly.
Is he playing with Jerry Kelly?
Yeah.
That'll be a fast round.
Yeah.
Jerry doesn't mess around.
-4. Best score after that is -2, Harris English and Troy Madison.
Who do you like today?
Well, I would like to see Stewart Cink win because I like Stewart. He's a great guy. I like Stewart. He's worked very hard on his game for the last 6 months. Or Ben. I would love to see Ben Crane win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for Ben to win a major. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I really am ready for Ben Crane to win a major. And then you got your Monday qualifier, and it's always cool to see a Monday qualifier.
Sure, that's a great story.
Yeah, I'd like to see Lee Westwood play 2 days in a row good golf as he gets ready, but for 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. But mostly I'd like to see Stewart win or Ben. All right, next up, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel will join us as we talk about slow play and the PGA Tour. That's next here on the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House, where President Obama and the First Family are spending Easter in Rome. Pope Francis presiding over his first Easter Mass and blessing.
Cari fratelli e sorelle di Roma e del mondo intero. Buona Pasqua.
Dear brothers and sisters,
Buona Pasqua.
In Rome and throughout the world, Happy Easter.
In his Easter message, he decried what he said is a greedy, affluent world looking for easy gain. Texas police are investigating with the murder of a local district attorney and his wife. Here's reporter Mark Schneider with NBC station KXAS.
It's unclear when the couple was killed, but a source tells us a friend or family member stopped by late yesterday after not hearing from the couple all day, and then they called police.
This is NBC News Radio. The founder of an Arizona pro-gun group is going ahead with a plan to give out free guns to Tucson residents. Here's NBC's Scott Carr.
The group Armed Citizen Project recently announced it will spend $12,000 on free shotguns for residents of Tucson neighborhoods with high crime rates. Founder Kyle Copeland says he just wants to make the community safer.
We want to give folks the tools to be able to defend themselves against those that would do them harm.
Some Tucson council members have called the idea absolute lunacy, but Copeland insists it will lead to less crime. And furthermore, any suggestions otherwise, he says, are un-American.
If you're going to operate on the premise that what we're doing is inherently a bad thing because these guns can be stolen, then you're just anti-gun to begin with.
Copeland says background checks and training will be required. Scott Carr, NBC News Radio.
And Wayne's World is being honored by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, which will hold a screening and panel discussion on the 23rd.
Excellent!
I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Opening day is coming right up, and if you're into fantasy baseball, you'll want to hear this. When I heard this, I was shocked. There's a guy in Chattanooga, big into fantasy baseball, who won, get this, $100,000 last baseball season at FanDuel.com on a $10 game. Damn! Yeah, he's playing in those new daily leagues at FanDuel.com, where you can pick a new lineup any day and get immediate cash payouts. 100 grand playing fantasy baseball? Apparently, this is the hottest thing in fantasy baseball. These daily leagues at FanDuel.com. There's no season-long commitment. It's a brand new contest every day. And look, FanDuel's going to pay out $200 million this year in winnings. Hey, listen, I want you to get over there now, because right now, FanDuel's giving new players free entry into a $1,000 cash fantasy baseball contest happening on April 1st. Sign up by this Friday for guaranteed free entry. Go to FanDuel.com and use promo code CATCH. That's FANDUEL.com, promo code CATCH.
Is that frozen dinner yucky? It's probably your fault.
Consumers don't really follow the directions. All they do is they put them in the ovens and use full power, which is often not the best thing to do.
Bob Schiffman is president of the International Microwave Power Institute, which finds nearly one out of four people admit ignoring or only partially following the directions, especially when it comes to stirring or using the right power level.
Full power really can cause uneven heating to occur.
One fix involves putting the harder-to-heat stuff on the edges where it will absorb the most energy.
For example, if you have a frozen entree with, let's say, chicken breast and mashed potatoes and broccoli. Broccoli heats beautifully. What doesn't heat well is the chicken breast. I would put the broccoli in the center, and I'd put the chicken breast and the mashed potatoes around it.
Bob Schiffman of the International Microwave Power Institute says slicing the meat also helps it heat more evenly. I'm Adrienne Mitchell from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I do solemnly swear
I am a federal employee
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
I am a Customs and Border Protection officer, and my job is to keep my country safe.
Against all enemies.
We work to make sure that the national banking system is safe and sound.
Faithfully discharge the duties of the office.
I believe in giving back.
I am about to enter.
I am proud to work for America.
So help me God.
Every federal employee takes this oath.
Go to theyworkforus.org.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with a ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at StopTextStopWrecks.org.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hi, you dear guy that sits on me. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. The beach, the mountains, that curvy road that leads to the diner with the milkshakes you love. Look, the point is, you and me, we've become a biker buds. And I like it. I like it a lot.
GEICO could help you save on your motorcycle insurance. And that should make you and your bike very happy.
The traditional light bulb. A groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
It's 9:07. I'm Stephen Gribben along with Tim Cusick. It is the golfer's home, 1190 AM. Next couple of weeks, we've got a big announcement coming.
You do?
Hang in there.
Okay.
Hang in there. Baylor versus Louisville, 6 o'clock tonight. Oh, that's women's basketball.
That's women.
Yeah, joking. Spring football starts. Steve Alford, named coach of the UCLA Bruins. We'll get into that in a little while to replace Ryan today. I think Ryan's coming on, actually. All right, so Rex Hoggart broke a story this week about slow play and the PGA Tour. So we're going to talk about that on Rex Hoggart's weekly segment here on The Golfer's Home. I need to start paying Rex to do this since he's become a regular guest. You think he'd accept money? Rex, would you accept money?
How about just a tea time somewhere?
Okay, that's good. That's good. So are you taking next week off, or are you practicing to get ready for Augusta?
You know what? I'll be practicing getting ready for Augusta. I was talking about that this morning. I'm leaving actually next Saturday night to drive up to Augusta to start the week. Our week apparently starts on the Sunday before now. That's how big the Masters have gotten. The media starts getting there the Sunday before.
Unbelievable.
Not right. Bad, though. It's pretty cool. I did it last year, and to actually walk on property and see it without the crowd,
right.
Gets run down. That's not the right word. Run over, I guess, is a better word. Over the course of the week, it's pretty neat to be there the Sunday before. Actually,
now, do you play during the week? Have you played Augusta?
I did. Actually, I played 7 years ago, so I'm back in the lottery this time around. Thank
cool.
you.
Cool.
So, Rex, the members they're still playing the weekend before, aren't they?
Members do play, yeah, and they're players out there as well. I mean, last year Tiger kind of stopped at the turn and talked to us for a little while, and there are a handful of members mixed in there. Yeah, I mean, it's still open to club play. I think it's pretty limited. I think there's just a handful of guys who are out there, but yeah, it's still open.
Golf carts out there?
No.
Walking.
I can't believe you asked that. That was greatness. No, there's no such thing as a golf cart in Augusta.
That's where all the golf cart manufacturers are, too.
Wow. All right. So, Rexy, let's talk about the PGA Tour and slow play.
That's funny. You said I broke a story about slow play on the PGA Tour. Like, no one's known that there's slow play. Like, I just had to write that story this week. It's a secret.
That's right.
Just crept up on us. Actually, the news this week, it was pretty interesting. There was a player advisory council meeting, and the policy board sat in on it as well last week at Bay Hill. And they were told about it was going to be a year-long study, insert your own punchline there, to sort of address slow play on the PGA Tour. And this is sort of a review. Last time we went through, the policy went through a review was 2008. And this is sort of a review of the tour's policy, and we can debate if that policy is working or not. Obviously, a lot of people don't think it is. But I think it's more of a bigger picture deal. I mean, the USGA already announced earlier this year that they're going to look at sort of the factors behind slow play and see what can be done to help it, because it's one of the things that's holding back the game, the growth of the game. And I think the tour, as you know, sort of the highest level with the most eyeballs on it, is sort of following suit and trying to come up with a way that maybe they could set the standard for maybe a little bit faster pace.
Okay, in your mind, I mean, you've done this a long time. In your mind, taking a twosome and a threesome, on a Sunday where you have 70 roughly players playing, and let's do it as a twosome and let's do it as a threesome, how long do you think it should take the leaders who are playing for anywhere from 1,800,000 to 1,500,000 to win the tournament? How long do you think it should take them to play a round of golf in a twosome and in a threesome?
Well, I mean, the easy answer to that is, there's time par. So if it's a twosome, I'm going to say probably on a PGA Tour Sunday with a lot of money and a lot of things on the line, depending on how hard the golf course is, a little over 4 hours. And I know that's being crazily optimistic on a PGA Tour. For a threesome, it's probably going to approach 5 hours. I mean, that's just sort of the reality. Should it take that long? No, probably not. I think most tour players will tell you probably not. But I thought the best answer I got when I was doing that story was from Paul Goidos, who's a member of the policy board.
Right.
He usually gives you the best answers that you end up with. And he pointed out that, and it was a great line, that, you know, this has a lot to do with golf course architecture.
Right.
That the golf courses you and I play are simply too hard for, you know, the 12, 13, 14 handicaps of the world. And the same thing applies to the PGA Tour. And the South Course at Torrey Pines is the perfect example.
Right.
It used to be a good 7,200-yard walk, and now it's turned into this 77,000-yard monster. And he said that golf course architects have to learn that long and hard are not synonymous.
When I read your article, the first thought that came to me was, this is their study so that come next year they can allow GPS on the golf course. Number one, do you tend to agree with me or not? And number two, do you think it would speed up play?
I think it would speed up play at the amateur level. I don't think it was going to do much good on the PGA Tour level.
You don't?
And these
okay.
are, of course, two separate conversations. But, yeah, I think it would. If you and I went out and played this afternoon, if we had a GPS and we didn't have to hunt around for a sprinkler head or try to do the math in our own minds, and because I'm not very good at math, I think it does help at the amateur level. At the pro level, they have caddies. They have yardage books. They've played this golf course a couple times throughout the course of the week. They know what they have. It's not going to make that big a difference on the tour level.
Interesting. I have said in the last couple weeks that I think it's time for Ricky to go get a Stevie Williams or to go get a Joe or to go get a Fluff, and that it's time for him to get a caddy that's been on the tour for over 15 years who can really help him to the next level rather than being with someone closer to his age. Have you ever thought about that? Do you have any feelings about that?
Yeah, I'd probably go the other way, just because I've spent a lot of time around Ricky and Joe Scova over the last couple of years. I was at Quail Hollow last year when they won, and
right.
that was during the playoff. That was a great conversation. I mean, just think back to that playoff with Rory and the conversation that those two had in the fairway, where Joe basically told him to all right, step back and reset. There was some questions about if he had the right club, and he wasn't quite sure there was a confidence level that was missing out, and Joe pushed him back. You know, and it takes a lot to pull a player off a shot. I mean, you don't do it very often, and
nope.
when you do, you better be right. And I think in a lot of circumstances, you're absolutely right. A young player can learn so much from an experienced caddy. The perfect case in point about that right now is Harris English.
Exactly.
Having Jimmy Johnson on the back.
That's right.
Steve Stricker's a longtime guy.
And that's where it came to for me, was when I saw that Jimmy went with him for at least 2 or 3 weeks, and then I think at some point a decision will be made, whether or not that would help Ricky become more consistent in his game.
You know, it might. I don't want to sit here and dismiss the importance of a caddy, because I'm a huge believer that caddies make the game better.
Not Absolutely.
Not just for players, but for all of us. That being said, Joe and Ricky have a very good relationship. And sometimes the friends and family plan works out just fine. I mean, we can point to plenty of circumstances when that happens.
Right.
And I don't know if you would have that same chemistry, that same fit. I mean, Tiger and Joey are a great example of that now. I mean, Joe's a great caddy. Tiger's a great player. But there's chemistry there beyond all that. Those two like being around each other.
Right, and that didn't happen overnight. There's no question about that.
No, absolutely not. There had to be a trust level, and I think it's grown, obviously, over the last year. And you've really seen them two click together.
Right. A good move, a move of nerves for Rory to play next week.
I think it's a great move. We were doing the Great Goose Show the other night, and Jeff Rude threw this stat out, and I thought it was a great stat, that before Jack Nicklaus's the Green Jackets, he played an average, heading into Augusta, he played an average of maybe 22 events, I think is what he said. And for Arnie, it was closer to 37 events. And you can kind of, for Tiger Woods, it was between 22 and 25. And I mean, if all things being considered through Sunday at Houston, it would have been, what, 12 and a half rounds?
Right.
For Rory? I think it's a very good move, but we've seen it before. I mean, for all those people who think he's either hitting the panic button or waited too long, he was in this very, very similar position, almost the exact same position.
Correct.
Midway through the year last summer.
Right.
He had missed four or five cuts. Added Memphis, got the pep talk from Dave Stockton Sr., turned around 2 weeks later, and won his second major by 8 strokes again.
Right.
So I'm still leaning towards Rory's going to figure this out.
Oh, and I'm leaning that way also, and you made a great point, because Memphis was nothing like where the U.S. Open was played last year. You know, Valero being nothing like playing in Augusta, and that was my only concern. But I agree with you, more rounds are going to be more helpful than not playing this week and just going and practicing.
And I think a lot of this had to do with, I mean, I'll go back to Doral. And you know, for 3 days, for 4 days, he was asked, you know, are you going to add Bay Hill? Are you going to add Bay Hill? Everyone assumed
right.
He was going to add Bay Hill. And I think at some point it almost became he wasn't going to be bullied in the playing Bay Hill, not either by Arnold Palmer or by the press, regardless of his play. And I think at some point this almost became a pushback that, no, I'm not adding to my schedule, whereas now he really probably feels like he came to this decision of his own accord, and he's much more comfortable with it.
Right.
Rex, that's one of the things I said earlier was, you know, him going to San Antonio. What's his mindset going there? Is he going to win the tournament? Is he going to get more practice in? And if he is going to get more practice in, is he going to be able to deal with the media talking about him sitting at tied for 30th or whatever it is, and can he push that aside and just try and get himself more into game condition to be ready for Augusta and to be ready for the rest of the year?
Well, I hate to keep harkening back to this, but he finished tied for 7th in Memphis last summer, and again, we all know how that worked out. And I think the best thing that happened to Rory this week, look, I think it's a great decision that he added Texas. I think the best thing that happened to Rory last week, though, is that he lost the math war with Tiger, and he's number 2 in the world.
Right.
I just think he's going to be much more comfortable in that position.
I'll tell you who it worked out great for is San Antonio.
It really did. I mean, and that field needed a boost. I mean, it was being pushed in a tough position. I think guys are very comfortable going to Houston these days. The week before Augusta, it just seems to be a better fit, and I was real curious to see how that field was going to work out. But it's a good boost for them, for sure.
That was one of the things that bothered me, and I might as well talk about it with you, is that, you know, this is a tournament, you know, most tournaments the week before, the week after a major kind of wind their way through it. That's W-H-I-N. And they deal with it as best they can, but they kind of just wind their way through it. Whereas the Shell Houston Open took a really positive attitude about it and said, okay, we're just going to accept this and we're going to do everything we can to put this tournament together for the players to get ready for Augusta. And it was a phenomenal move. What made the tour now put this tournament in between? Why not go Valero-Houston?
Well, it's a one-off deal. I mean, that's the first thing. This is just a one-year deal.
Right.
And it has to do with the contract between Valero and the PGA Tour. And I'm going to mess this up, but it has something to do with the Monday Pro-Am in Texas. It's in the contract that it can't be played. I think it's in conjunction with the Easter holiday, which, we're in right now.
Wow.
And this was written into the contract. So I just think this is a scheduling deal because of the calendar, and it's just a one-off. So because of that Monday Pro-Am, which produces a lot of funds for the charity of the Valero Texas Open, to be quite honest with you.
Right. Speaking of that, have we heard anything? We're talking to Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. Have we heard anything about what's going on with the Tournament of Champions?
We have not, but I'm waiting to write that story because you bring it up every week. It's got to happen soon.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, there's something's got to happen with that contract because that contract does say it's the first tournament of the year.
It does, and there has to be some sort of, I mean, I'm sure the tour and the folks at Hyundai have come to some sort of agreement before this.
Right.
That you know, we're just not privy to because, I mean, the tour moved forward months ago with this new schedule, so it's not as though this has been a surprise or this is something they can even change now. I mean, the schedule's pretty well set.
Hey, Rex, so on the leaderboard today in Houston right now, you got Jordan Spieth five under in his round after eight holes. He's moved up 38 spots. He's tied for 27th. Are you surprised by what he's done so far, or did you somewhat expect it?
I'm a little surprised, to be quite honest with you. Look, he's a talented player. And you talk to anybody and he's had a chance to be around him. He's a good kid. I mean, obviously he proved himself on the college level, but this is a tough year to come out and do what he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, this year being a condensed schedule and starts being so hard to come by, the pressure is on to get top tens because you're going to be limited in the number of sponsored exemptions you get. He's doing this under more pressure than most guys embrace. That's the part that's surprising me a little bit.
Is he being accepted out there, or is he still having to find his way?
No, I think he's being accepted. I mean, when you come out and you can perform on that level, again, I think most tour players probably appreciate what he's doing, as I pointed out, under the pressure that is this season. I think he's earning a name for himself, to be quite honest with you.
He's Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. Thanks so much for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Have a great rest of this week, and enjoy the drive to Augusta.
I'll talk to you next Sunday from Augusta.
You got it. I can't wait. That's Rex Hoggard. We will talk to him next Sunday. This is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Opening day is almost here. How many baseball games are you going to this season? I can't wait to get to the ballpark. I'm going to make it to a lot of games this year because I've discovered ScoreBig.com, where I can get baseball tickets for up to 60% off. In fact, at ScoreBig.com, every ticket is below box office price, guaranteed. That's because ScoreBig grabs unsold tickets to baseball games and thousands of other live events, NBA, NHL, and great shows, and sells them at huge discounts, up to 60% off, even right behind home plate. And listen to this. Now's the perfect time to get your baseball tickets, because right now ScoreBig is offering an extra $15 off every ticket on the site. That's an extra $15 off already incredibly low-priced tickets. Remember, tickets at ScoreBig.com are already up to 60% below box office price, and for a limited time, you can get an additional $15 off. But hurry, the only way to get this amazing deal on baseball tickets is to go to ScoreBig.com and type in the promo code 6969 at checkout. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 6969.
Someday, I'll wake up on a yacht in the Caribbean. Someday, I'll sell my screenplay and change careers.
Someday, I'll drive my very own Mercedes-Benz.
Someday is today. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, driving the car of your dreams is a lot closer than you think. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
Someday, I'll stop saying someday.
Don't wait. It's time to love what you drive. Available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
The official state flower of Texas is, of course, the bluebonnet. The official state small mammal is the armadillo. And the official state temperature is... Come on. Seriously? Yeah, okay, it can get a bit toasty out there, and your AC will be taxed severely, which is why Reliant has come up with the Keep It Cool plan. When you sign up, your price will include a 15% discount from May through August. That'll help with those AC bills. And speaking of AC, to make sure everything's working properly, we'll also throw in an AC tune-up on the house, which, I believe, is the official state preventative maintenance of Texas. To sign up, call 1-866-RELIANT or visit Reliant.com/keep it cool.
Valid only for new residential customers signing up for the Reliant Keep It Cool plan. Discount is included in the average price and appears during billing periods with meter reads beginning May, June, July, and August. Voucher for free AC tune-up from Allied Warranty to arrive in 4 to 6 weeks. For complete terms and conditions, visit Reliant.com/keep it cool. PSET number 10007.
Ah, the sound of small business getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are, because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
When you listen to 1190 AM, you're going to hear important stuff, like who did something stupid, who's most likely to do something even more stupid. Now, if you're a business owner, you can put your advertising in with a bunch of boring, unimportant stuff, or you can place it with important stuff. I think you know what to do. DFW1190AM.com, keyword important stuff.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. It's 925. Rex Hoggard filling us in on a lot of stuff. 4+ hours in a twosome. I mean, I understand they're playing for a lot of money, but shouldn't a twosome play in 2.5 hours?
I don't know if it'd be 2.5 hours, but 4+ hours is a little ridiculous. I mean, how much time do you need to figure out what you're going to do and hit the shot?
That's a long time for a twosome. Heck, 5 hours for a threesome is a long time.
With 70 guys out on the course. And
that's what I mean.
9 minutes in between the tee times. Caddies.
Jordan Spieth, currently 27th, 5-under through 8. Nick Watney, 3-under, 5-under through on the tournament through 3 holes. 3-under through 3 holes. That ain't bad.
No.
That would sound like 54 to me.
Jimmy Walker is 4-under.
Do you think that
will
ever happen?
What?
Pia Nielsen's whole thing,
Vision 54? Vision 54?
Yeah. You think there'll ever come a time when somebody will shoot 54?
No.
What is the lowest recorded score?
On a regulation golf course?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, Guinness. I don't even know.
Oh, I don't know in the Guinness. But Shigeki Maruyama shot 58.
57, I thought.
A U.S. Open qualifier.
Right, at a qualifier.
Yeah, in a qualifying round for the U.S. Open.
Maybe it was 58. You could be right.
I think it was 58.
Doug LaBelle, -2 through 3 holes. He's up 12 places to 36th.
Spieth has made 3 birdies and an eagle on the front side.
Jimmy Walker is -4, -3 through 10. He is up 22 places to 47th.
So guys that are getting to the golf course that are on the leaderboard, they'll be there in about another hour or so, and they're seeing the scores that are being posted right now. They always check on that.
They
do check on what's happening as they get to the course, how the course is playing. And a good caddy is out there kind of checking the golf course out as well. But they see that, and they have to have the mindset that it's going to be a track meet today. And it is certainly going to be a track meet unless they really get some weather. It looks like the weather has passed in Dallas right now. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun for tour players to show up at a course when it means something and know that they got to start coming out with their guns shooting. And it's a birdie barrage, and here we go, and let's have some fun. And I'll tell you what, it'll be fun TV, that's for sure. When you've got 20 guys that have a chance to win and they're making birdies, it's that's my excitement for watching golf on TV.
It's and this is not a real birdie golf course. I mean, this course got a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Greens are now the weather makes this golf course. This is one of those golf courses. I mean, every golf course is easier when it rains because it's softer and players can go at more flags because they know the ball's not going to hit and take off. It's not dried out.
Right.
It's lush and soft, and you know, dog legs don't hurt as much because you're not going to run it through the mm-hmm. dog leg, and greens hold the first bounce. So, I mean, players, it's amazing. For an average golfer, it rains, our scores go up. For the tour player, starts to rain, scores go down.
Wind is what the
especially if they get to put their ball their hand on the ball.
And the wind is what the equalizer the golf courses,
that's
what happens at the Nelson every year. You know, it 2 years ago when Keegan Bradley won, the winning score was 3 under par, and it was the highest winning score on tour counting majors for that year. But we had a lot of wind, and we had 30+ miles an hour the last day.
It's the wind is the only thing left
mm-hmm.
to keep a tour player from scoring.
You can make the fairways as narrow as you want.
Right.
You can, you know, they're not going to get ridiculous with the rough. Pin positions nowadays, I mean, they're 3 to 4 from something, whether it's the front edge, the left to right, back edge, a crest in the green. Where they put the pins now, most of the time, it doesn't even look like they're on the golf course.
And
they can still find them.
You know, I remember when the groove change rule was going in, and I had gotten inside information from a number of the players on the advisory board that the way they were going to resolve that issue, because I figured would go up, and how are they going to keep the records and things like that. And the discussion was they were just going to move pins closer to the center of the holes, to the greens. And that lasted for the first 6 months of the groove change.
Mm-hmm.
And players just are so good today. It doesn't matter the groove. The ball makes up for so many things. And until they decide to do something, if anything, about the ball for the tour players, again, who knows? But, you know, you're right. I mean, you could put a flag 2 on now. Now they don't. They put it 3 on minimum. But it doesn't matter to them.
And what we're talking about is 3 yards. So 3 steps. You take 3 steps from an edge of a green and then sit there and look and say, okay, this is where the pin's going to be. Okay. Now, when a friend of mine, Marco Miro, when he came out on tour back in the early 80s, he said that on the pin sheets back then, a difficult pin was 8 from something.
Right.
And now it's 3 from something. And if you look at pin sheets, for the, let's say, the HP Byron Nelson Championship in a month or so from now, month and a half, you look at the pin sheet and you're going to have 9 to 10 to 12 pins that are going to be 3 or 4 from some edge of the green. And they still find them and they still make birdies because they are that good.
It's just amazing to me that it happens like that and that guys can just – The thing that shocks me more than anything is when I play, when I'm playing good, I'm a pretty good golfer. I used to be. And I'll play and literally, you know, for me, I'm just trying to get it on the center of the green usually. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that I'm going.
Which is where most people should be going.
Right.
If they want to shoot better scores.
And these guys.
They don't buy into that. There's not a lot of center of the green and on the PGA Tour.
No.
Except for the U.S. Open, usually. The center of the green is not a place where you see a lot of the players on the tour, and that's not where they put the pins. And, you know, it's interesting when you go and watch a practice round on a tour event, they won't have the pins as difficult as what they have set for the tournament. And oftentimes the tour players don't even hit at the pins in a practice round. They will hit towards the center of the green, and then they stand in the center of the green, and they start putting towards the different corners where they think the pin's going to be to get the read on what the break's going to be to those pins.
Yeah. I just – they're so good now that it just – it's amazing to me. All right, so
– Even if you play the same golf course as a tour event is held on – and it's not even close to the same golf course when the pin's sitting in the middle versus when it's 3 from the edge right over a bunker, you know, tucked right there.
Marcel Siem minus 16. Marcel Siem.
Marcel Siem.
From Germany. Mikko Ilonen from Sweden or Denmark. Finland is at minus 15. Pablo Larrazabal. Why did I start this?
Larrazabal, your European tour.
He's at minus 11. And David Horsey, he's an Englishman, thank you God, and is at minus 11. They're playing on the European tour, which would be on the Golf Channel right now. They're playing the Trophy Hassan.
Marcel Siem.
In Morocco.
Marcel Siem came up at the same time as Martin Keimer. They were rivals, the same coach. Gunter Kessler in Germany helped both of them out. Marcel Siem is a different cat. I've got I've got some friends over in Germany that are golf professionals that know Marcel, and he beats to a different drum. And he's not a big practicer. He's very feel-oriented, but a win today would give him an outside chance of getting inside the top 50 of the world rankings, which would allow him to play at Augusta.
Wow.
2 weeks from now.
Amazing.
So he is playing for his chance to get to possibly Augusta, depending on how everything shakes out.
It's getting close, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You getting excited?
I am getting excited. You're
doing something very special.
I am. My son Carson has gotten into golf in a big way. He turned 11 last Saturday, and I pulled out all the stops and told him that for his birthday.
Wait a minute, is that March 23rd?
March 23rd.
That's my sister's birthday.
Yeah, March 23rd.
It's my sister's birthday.
So I pulled out all the stops and told him that we are going to Augusta this year. So we're going to fly down on Thursday, see Friday and Saturday's round, and then fly back on Sunday morning and watch it on TV Sunday afternoon. And I haven't been since 2000, so I'm very excited as well, and I'm hopeful that he is equally as excited to have a chance to see that great
place.
Okay, now,
have you guys talked about what you will do? Will this be a put a chair someplace and then go walk, or just walk, or what?
I don't think we'll put a chair, although I told him that was one of the traditions there.
Of course.
I do think that at least on Friday, we will be following his favorite golfer. That would be Ricky Fowler. And he will have his best Ricky outfit on. And then hopefully Ricky makes the cut so we can see him on Saturday as well. But we will definitely walk the entire golf course both days, at least once to see it, and we'd have to go and check Tiger out too, I'm sure, and see what how he's playing. You know, one of the things I'm really excited about is when I was there last, which was 2000,
right,
was before they had renovated the practice facilities.
That's true. So I have not seen the new practice facilities.
Very excited
to see what that looks like.
Take
him over so you can see the par three
course as well. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun couple days and you know, something that I'll never forget, and hopefully he won't either.
You just do not realize two things when you walk out there, and it really, Rex is right. There's nothing quite like going to Augusta when there's nothing going on, because it's so open.
Mm-hmm.
But the two things that are just you notice right from the start, because we've watched it for so long on TV, is number one, how green it is.
Yes.
And clean it is.
Yes.
That's AB one.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like indoor-outdoor carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And number two are the elevations.
Yes.
You just
exactly
cannot realize. Now, forgetting the fact, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll tell you the other part that's just shocking to me of where this country club is located. That's next here on the Golfer's Home, 1190, and we're going to get Uncle Ryan on the phone.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Discovering your family's roots at Ancestry.com takes you on a journey back into time. If you found a relative in the immigration records, imagine what other family history can be unlocked. Untold stories can be found when you access historic census and military records, browse family trees, and connect with distant relatives all through Ancestry.com. And right now, Ancestry.com is extending a very special limited time offer. For 2 weeks only, they're offering an unprecedented discount on all Ancestry.com memberships when you enter the discount code BECK at checkout. Whether you're looking to explore U.S. documents or or access their extensive international records. It's all included during this special offer. Don't delay. Visit Ancestry.com and enter the discount code BECK at checkout for your exclusive discount. This offer is only valid with the discount code BECK and expires soon. Don't wait. Visit Ancestry.com today. That's Ancestry.com.
Because Mike switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, his money clip wants to shake his hand. Firmly, for a solid 3 seconds. But it can't. Fact is, most money clips don't have hands to shake with. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice the extra cash, you'll know your money clip wants to give you a firm handshake. But remember, it can't. It doesn't have hands. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, we're talking to real smokers about quitting. Tell me when you smoke and why you smoke.
Eat, cigarette, kids, cigarette, dinner, another cigarette.
One on my way to lunch, one after lunch.
And another cigarette, and another cigarette.
Have you tried to quit?
Yes. I become angry.
It ain't that easy. You can't just quit cold turkey. I tried.
What would you do different?
Actually having a plan and thinking it through.
You have to relearn how to live your life without a cigarette in your hand.
With the right plan, you can quit smoking. Free at becomeanx.org. X, a new way to think about quitting. Brought to you by X and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high health care costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains, improved concentration, memory, and mental focus, increased energy and performance, enhanced quality of sleep, and a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628, or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
It is 9:42. It's the Golfers' Home, 11:90 a.m. We're talking Hooters. Five straight years I did the show from, and I was doing the national show then and just doing the show from Hooters
in Augusta,
which is a different kind of sight because they bring Hooters girls from everywhere. Because number one, it's so packed. Mm-hmm. And number two, they just want
all-star lineup.
Exactly. And boy, do they get it. But Hooters was nice enough to let me do the show from there. And as you said, it is the number one steakhouse in Augusta. So we were talking about, you know, the things about Augusta. Is Ryan on the phone? So we'll bring in Uncle Ryan because Uncle Ryan has been to Augusta a lot also. You know, so we talked about how green it is. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. When you walk through and you go through the gate and you walk out and you stand there, especially when, unfortunately, you know, you'll be there with the stands are up. But when you go there sometime with no stands and you just stand there and you see basically the whole mm-hmm. golf course.
Right, right.
Because it's so open.
Looks like an arboretum.
Exactly. And just how green it is and not one piece of dirt out of place, mm-hmm. let alone a cigarette mm-hmm. butt. So that's number one. And then number two are the elevation changes. Walking up number one.
Yes.
I mean, you lose your breath.
Yeah, it's a climb.
But the other thing is that imagine, and I hope people don't take this the wrong way, imagine just small town America. I mean, small town, like Ryan, describe, I mean, if you drive from here towards Los Angeles, you go toward through Weatherford, and you go through some of these really small towns. That just are one street that have a bunch of little restaurants mm-hmm. on it and mm-hmm. are not well kept. Mm-hmm. And right in the middle of that, there's this driveway that's totally nondescript.
Right.
You don't even realize it's there. And yet you turn into that driveway and you are literally heaven on earth.
Yeah, it's Camelot. And there's a little white sign that's about the size of a poster board that's up by these tall pines that block the outside of Augusta that just says Augusta National Golf Club. And that's really the only, you know, description of the course. And it's basically a military town.
Right. You wonder when they built it, if they thought Augusta was going to become a bigger market or
good
not.
Good question. I mean, it was built in the early 30s,
right,
wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it was a nursery.
And then right behind it, behind 12, is Augusta Country Club.
Which is also a really... Have you played it, Ryan? Have you played Augusta Country Club?
No, I've never got to play it. I've been out there on two or three practice rounds and a few tournaments.
No, I'm not talking about Augusta National.
Country Club. No.
It is a great golf course.
Oh, I'm sure.
It is a great golf course. And it's interesting to me. Tell me your favorite memories of going to Augusta.
I mean, there's what to say or even where to start. Like you said earlier, it's like indoor-outdoor, like say, turf. That was the one thing that caught me. But, you know, frankly, for me, it was kind of cool. I just thought that there was five-star service wherever you were. I'd assume most of them are volunteers that are, you know, giving you sandwiches for, a dollar and, you know, a beer for $1.50 and all this stuff. And everybody's just smiling and happy to be there, and it's all just pleasant. And, you know, I know that one thing I noticed, you know, you go to, like, the Colonial or Byron Nelson, and you still see from some of the food, you know, booths and stuff, they've got like smoke coming up from cooking burgers or hot dogs,
right,
or whatever. They don't do that there because it's a distraction. So that's why they do the sandwiches, right?
Right.
And they want to just focus on that. But I just thought the service, I was inspired. I came back home. I'm just trying to rally the troops there at work, just saying, guys, we learned something from this thing. But everything is just done first class all the way. That's what really got me. But what cracked me up is I remember you guys are talking about being in the town and going in there, like going into the park.
Right.
I looked at it from the opposite view, and it was like when you're leaving, you're going from like heaven and you go back like into hell almost, because it's just chaos out there. You know, and you see like a Western sizzling across the street and, you know, kind of some rundown shopping centers. It's amazing the disparity there. But it's a really, gosh, what an amazing place.
Right. And for people who don't understand, anybody can go to Augusta. I want to say this. You can go. Now, it may cost you $600 instead of the price of the ticket, but there are always scalpers on the street. I have never been there, and I've been there 8 times. I have never been there for every single day,
when
there are scalpers
available
on the street.
The first time I went, I paid $100. A scalper on for a Thursday round.
That's an unbelievable
price.
Deal
right,
yeah,
there.
It was
very
a great
deal.
But it was about halfway through the day.
Oh, okay.
I kind of lucked out. But yeah, you're right. That's something that, I mean, you know, I know you guys have done the same thing. You tell somebody, oh yeah, you know, you got the chance to go to Augusta. Like, oh my gosh, that's just so cool. How'd you do that? You know, thinking you had this amazing connection. And like you said, you're gonna have to pay a little bit more, but you can get a ticket, you know, pretty easily out there from a scalper.
Steven, so let me ask you this. The PGA Tour a couple years ago adopted the policy that cell phones are allowed on the golf course.
Correct.
During tournament rounds. Now, the PGA Tour does not run the Masters.
Correct.
Do they have that same policy?
No.
No cell phones?
No.
Now, the last time I was there,
I actually got in trouble because I was doing a couple radio interviews, and I went as far away as I could, and I still got asked to not use my cell phone.
Last time I was there in 2000, so you started having cell phones. It's when people started having cell phones. And I can remember tour players talking about walking into the clubhouse and the entire area that surrounded Augusta National, they think they had the cell phone tower scrambled, so you couldn't even get a signal.
Now, my recollection the last time, which was now, I didn't go last year, they actually take your cell phone and put it in a safe for you. And
if they find you using it.
No. When you go in through the gate.
Okay.
They will take your cell phone.
They
scan
the
you.
Metal detector.
Right, and they actually take your cell phone. They take your camera other than on mm-hmm. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They take your camera, and they hold them for you until you leave.
If you have it on you.
Yes.
Yes.
Unless you have a media badge.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to take mine, even with my media badge, because I was using it on the course. And I admit it. I apologize.
On the property, yeah.
But I was told, you know, you can only use it in the media room. So that's what happens. When the times you've gone, Ryan, I know you've gone more for practice rounds than tournament rounds, right?
I've done a little bit of both. I actually 2 years ago was there on the Sunday when Phil hit it out of the pine straw on the, what, a 13?
Yep.
And I think that was, yeah, he got an eagle. But I was out there a couple, for that Sunday round. And the other ones, I've been there for that Thursday that I walked up and scalped. The rest were the practice rounds, which I personally think are amazing. I love practice rounds.
So when you go, if you're going and you're seeing the tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, because the number of people there is the same all 4 days. It's not like going Sunday is different than going on Thursday. It's not, folks. I love Wednesday just because of the par three contest, and you actually do get a little bit closer to the players. But what do you like to do the times you've gone? Do you tend to go to one place and stay there, or do you tend to follow a player, or do you just kind of walk around?
I like to go to Amen Corner first thing, go straight there, get a decent seat because it's packed. You know, you've seen it just from the camera view, how many folks are there. But I like to go there and hang out till about noon and then walk around and really go through almost every single hole.
For the people who want to know, you don't need to take a chair. There is a level above behind number 12 and to the left, if you're looking from the green backwards, there's this huge area
grandstand.
Where there's a grandstand, but to the left of the grandstand even, there's a standing area. And that's where we used to always stand, right there, because you can stand there and see just about everything.
You can see 12, you can see 11, you can see 6, you can see...
You can't really see much of 11 from that spot.
You can see the green.
Exactly, that's it.
A little bit
of
the green, and that's it. Then you can see 12... You can see you can see the players tee off, but you can't see the ball because they're teeing off almost behind number 12 green. But that area, you might have a good 40% of the entire population that's on the property in that area.
The other place that I love to sit, there's an area, oh my God, my numbering is wrong now, where there's a par three and you tee off. Way up high. And
Number six.
I thought it was 7.
Which is by 16.
Right, which is by 16. And you can actually sit where the ball flies over your head.
Right, and then face the green.
Yes. And you also get to see the tee shots then on 16. That is a great place to sit.
That's
and most people
cool.
don't know about that.
I love that. That's a great spot right there where they do hit it right over their head, which is really odd. But
Exactly.
I love that area, too.
Now, when you go, do you stay in Augusta, or do you tend to stay someplace else a little less expensive?
You know me. I stayed somewhere less expensive, but I did have
Arkansas?
Which was one of my more favorite memories out there was I got invited, and it was several guys that rented a house. And you wouldn't believe. I mean, it's the people that actually live there. I mean, it's a hiatus. They all leave. You know, because they're making a fortune. They're going to pay about 5 months rent here for, you know, some folks to stay there for a week. But we just stayed in this, you know, nice family's home. And they had a four-bedroom house. And it was only literally probably 3 miles from the club.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to go. And that's what a lot of the players will do.
Oh.
Even players that aren't the top echelon for this 1 week, they will, because they're bringing family members in, they'll rent homes. They will bring in chefs. They will. I mean, they do it upright for this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is definitely the way to go. Is just trying to rent a home, but you know you've got to do that so far in advance,
right?
Even think about doing renting something.
And then, do you tend to drive from Atlanta, or do you actually fly to Augusta?
Atlanta.
I've never flown to Augusta actually.
I don't think. Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't either. I know it's from Dallas. It's a lot easier just straight to Atlanta and drive down. But
yeah, flying to Augusta is like flying to Pinehurst. You have to be in one of those private planes, I think.
Yeah. Oh no, there are flights. Delta flies to Augusta.
Into Augusta.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a direct flight from Dallas. I know there are from other cities,
you're going to pay like it's private flying to Augusta for that week at least.
So other than Augusta, what would be a tournament you haven't seen that you'd like to see?
Great question. I'd like to see is AT&T still sponsoring a Pebble Beach?
Yes.
Yes.
The Pro-Am. I think I'd like to go out and watch that. I think that'd be fun. I've gotten a chance to play the course, but not to ever really watch some golf there. I think that'd be neat. A chance to do one time the old Bethpage U.S. Open a few years ago. I think it was 2009, which
right.
was mm-hmm. unbelievable. But, you know, I don't know. That's a good question.
I'll tell you, for me, it would be, and I've gone to Europe a number of times to teach, but I've never been to the British Open. It would be the British Open for sure.
You haven't been.
I've never been to the British Open. Now I would pick a few courses. I mean, it would either be Carnoustie, it would be St Andrews, Muirfield this year would be a very cool one. Turnberry would be, which is right on the water. Those would probably be my four choices. But I'd love to go see the British Open.
So you haven't played in Scotland either?
No, I've never been to Scotland.
Oh, we need to go.
Never been to Scotland.
I need to take you.
Mm-mm.
The one place I haven't played, well, I really cannot wait to go to Thailand. I want to play in Thailand. If I'm going to start playing again, that would be my next trip. And I never got to go to Ireland because I was supposed to do an outing to Ireland, and then that was the week, unfortunately, of September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Ireland, some of the golf courses there, just majestic.
Oh, I mean, Royal County Down is... If there's one golf course outside of America that I want to play more than any, it's Royal County Down. I just hear so many things about it. And Royal Portsmouth.
Oh, yeah, Portsmouth, sure.
I've heard people. In fact, Barney Adams told me that he thought after going to both Scotland and to Ireland, he'll go to Ireland every single time now.
Absolutely.
He said Ireland was
That's
just
what
off
so
the,
many now, people say.
Scotland was good, but he said Ireland was off the charts in terms of golf courses and just the experience.
Well, but I think what it is, it's like, you know, the three of us, Ryan's been in this discussion before too, where, you know, if you go to Monterey Peninsula, Pebble Beach is not the best golf course. Everybody agrees with that. Yeah, but having said that, you have to play it.
It's the most scenic.
So it's like if you're going to go over there the first time, because we mm-hmm. all know these golf courses, mm-hmm. St. Andrews, Turnberry, Carnoustie,
right.
That's where everybody wants to go the first time. But I will tell you that the Ireland trip is just better golf because it's not as crowded. The driving around the country is amazing, and it's just a spectacular trip. And have you done both, Ryan, or?
I have, yes. I've never played in either, but I got a chance in 98 when your friend Mark Mira, Tim, won at Royal Birkdale.
Right.
Unbelievable experience. Got a chance to go all 4 days.
Wow, wow.
Amazing weather, you know, which is a rarity there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a neat experience. I mean, you look at the course, and here I've played golf my whole life. It was a goat track. It was something like it out of West Texas that had never been kept up. The greens were nice, but other than that, it's really just hitting out of the sticks.
It really is natural golf.
It is.
At its finest.
There's something really cool about that, but, you know, if you're going over there to go shoot a low score and just, you know, it's about the opposite as it gets of probably something like Augusta where everything's just perfectly maintained, not even a, you know, twig on the ground. But it's a neat experience, and then got a chance to go to Cork and then Dublin, but never been able to actually play golf. But it's just, gosh, the scenery there is just unbelievable.
It's just, those are beautiful trips, and there's just so much golf to play. That's the cool thing. And I got into a discussion a couple of weeks ago, being a West Coast person, and we talked about this with Ryan. You know, I'm used to going Arizona, the desert, Hawaii.
Right, right.
We got 30 seconds. You know, I've never been to Myrtle Beach, and I don't know mm-hmm. where to start with Myrtle Beach because there's so many golf courses in such a small area.
And Myrtle Beach it's compacted too, and it's right on the ocean, beautiful sand, and you've got 90 courses there within a 15-mile radius.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I love Hilton Head, but I can't even fathom where to start at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
All right, so you're getting away this week. You're going to play any golf?
Me?
Yeah.
No, unfortunately not. Just going to hang out, going to Key West. Going to try to get some R&R in for a few days, and Unfortunately, they're not really known for their golf at Key West.
Really? I didn't know that. All right, I got 10 seconds, so we won't get a course review from you next Sunday. We'll just let you sleep in since you're going to actually vacation. That's cool. All right, you have a great week. Next time we talk to Ryan will be Augusta week. Mr. Cusick, we'll see you next week.
Looking forward to it.
I'm Stephen Gribben. It's The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. Bye-bye, everybody.
KFXR, Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.